Today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all our listeners out there.
And we are live today. It was funny. Unfortunately, Father and I both contracted COVID right at the same time. We were had made a retreat together. Father was actually the retreat director, and a number of us came back and tested positive over the next couple of days with COVID. I mentioned to Father, I can hear the difference in my voice. I don't know if the listeners can detect it or not. But anyway, I'm well on the mend. For those that were aware and praying, I thank you. Father's still on the mend. He's has a two good days and then a bad day. So much the same as he had before. So I'm glad he's able to call us from Wildwood, New Jersey. He's trying to breathe in as much of that salt air as he can in order to relieve his symptoms. So glad you can make it, Father.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of sunshine, S-U-N, and also the other sunshine, S-O-N, sunshine. And I really thank Debbie and Paul McLaughlin for letting me be here at their summer home. So I'm getting the rest that I need, but like you said, Ken, it's been ups and downs.
Yeah.
Week, and I thank the listeners for prayers, but also keep them coming. I really want to get well for this upcoming retreat as well on June 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Cape May.
Yeah.
So really need prayers there. And those prayers certainly worked for that last retreat, Ken. It was so powerful, as you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people going back to confession and communion and a lot of conversions.
Yeah,
I really felt like the power, you know, that felt like God's microphone. And I would do it all over again. I think even if I thought I was going to die, because I felt so close to God.
Yeah.
So did everybody else. And I just thank God for all the blessings that came during that week at Matt Talbot 57 at Malvern.
Yeah. And, we all thought it was, you know, is that odd or is that God that we had the Wake Up America dinner the same day that the retreat ended. So we never left. The retreat was over around 11:30, and just in time to help Maureen and the rest of the volunteers unload cars and get stuff ready for the Wake Up America dinner. And I felt great. We had a wonderful time at the dinner that afternoon. Went home, got up the next morning, came down to Grace Ferry to go to work, and it wasn't until Monday afternoon, maybe 2 o'clock, where I started to suspect something wasn't right. And sure enough, by the time I got home, I had the full-blown fever, took the at-home test that Sue and the kids had laying around, and sure enough, I spent the next 3 days in bed with the 102 fever. And for those that may have been in close contact with us. I mean, I know I hugged Kathleen. Pat Cahill was on hand, who I met for the first time. And Pat and I chatted for a little bit. I don't think there were too many other hugs that I gave or spent that time, spent much time close enough to infect others. I do know in talking to Maureen that it was a few days after we were positive that one of our engineers, Frank, came up positive. He actually showed up for work a week later and was like death warmed over. And then Frank just told me that Judy in the last few days is asymptomatic. She's not showing any symptoms, but apparently tested positive as well. So if there's anybody else out there, it's my apologies. None of us had any idea. Three of us that were at the table, Father McKay, myself, and Chuck, all tested positive within the next 48 hours or so of that dinner. So if we happen to spread it to you, we're sorry. But like I said, none of us, I think, showed any kind of symptoms when we were at the dinner. It was only in the next couple of days that we realized what the heck was going on. But again, thanks for the person.
I remember, Ken, when I came down the stairs, I was coughing, and you said, "Uh-oh, Chuck's sick." No, this is my allergies.
But yeah.
Sure enough, you know, start getting feverish and weak and chilly. So and took the test, and sure enough, it was positive.
Yep. So anyway, we haven't been here the last 2 weeks. We put recorded shows on. I know at least one friend, Gail, tried to call last week, tried to call in and learned real quick that it was a tape show. So sorry about that, Gail. We are live today. So
I think Bob tried to call in too, Ken.
Nah, Bob
Mariotti tried to call in.
I doubt it. I doubt it. He probably told you he probably told us he tried to call three times each week. Don't no laughing. No laughing. It starts the coughing.
Yeah, right.
Anyhow.
And just to thank Patrick, too, for really filling in for us there, Patrick and Kathy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what we've done without them. I think our ship was starting to sink there, you know, our House Ministries and our Calix ship.
Yeah.
But God provides, doesn't
he? Amen. And you know, in doing so, and I mentioned to you before that it kind of spurred the idea that we get in touch with all the priests in the diocese and let them know what we're doing down there so that when this does come up, we can get some help at Calix, and especially on the third Tuesday like we had last night. We probably had, I don't know, 16 or 18 people that came for the Divine Mercy Chaplet and Adoration, and a couple of folks that I hadn't seen before. And so we're trying to do a better job of keeping in touch with people. I got the list of cell phone numbers so that we can at least let them know when we have to adjust the schedule. But for those of us that have, you know, supported us all this time, we thank you. We just ask for your continued support. If you have a parish priest that might be interested in working with the addicted, helping us out on the third Tuesday, we can always use additional priests to hear confession. Maybe suggest it to your pastor or an assistant in your parish that think that it's the kind of work they might be interested in. Have them get in touch with me through the Our House Ministries website. But probably before the end of the month, they'll be getting a letter from us anyway, just letting us know, letting them know what we're up to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea, Ken. Like, just get more priests involved, even to open up even more units in their parish. You know, I don't have a TV, but down here, you know, is watching EWTN mass and whatnot and putting the news on to see who won the election. But I heard they were talking about on the news about all the overdoses. And I was shocked to hear that between the age of 18 and 45, the number one cause of death between that age, Ken, is overdose deaths from the fentanyl.
Yep.
So we really need to put the word out there and get more people involved, you know, and the answer is God. The answer is grace. It's the sacraments. It's not safe injection sites or Suboxone programs or any other drug program. A drug is a drug is a drug. You know, God has the answer and the solution. And the priests, you know, they proclaim it. And they administer the sacraments of confession, Eucharist, blessings. So by all means, I'm glad you brought that up, you know, for parishioner listeners, talk to your priest. There are priests out there that I think would like to be involved in this work because it's so important.
Yeah.
It's a lost sheep, Ken.
No, absolutely. And if you happen to be in a parish where you've had a number of folks that have lost either children or spouses to overdose and looking for somebody to come out perhaps and talk about addiction, by all means, get in touch with us. It's something that I would be more than open to doing, and do it in a tactful, prayerful way, and you know, and explain what addiction is. Most people, you know, they don't understand it, and if you don't have the mind of an addict, it can be really hard. We had some great shares last night at our meeting, and you know, if somebody, and we were outside, we were on the back deck last night, and if somebody was standing on the other side of the wall just listening, they would have thought, you know, what the heck are these people talking about? What do you mean you're angry all the time? How can you be angry all the time? And if you don't have the head of an addict and the, you know, have gone through what we've gone through, you don't understand. And I think that by having it explained, that sometimes it can bring relief to know that you know, it wasn't anything that they did or could have done to prevent it, that it is a, you know, a physical, emotional, and spiritual problem, and it is a disease, and with the, you know, with the right kind of help, it can be thwarted. I mean, we can postpone that death. You know, you're once an addict, always an addict, but we can help people learn how to cope with it, to deal with it, to use other things other than alcohol or drugs or gambling or whatever it is they do when the chips are down. So by all means, if this is something that your parish might be interested in, get in touch with us. We'd love to set up an evening. All that to say that Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also, like I say, we're available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Get in touch with us either through the Our House Ministries website or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign, and she can put you in touch with Father or I. Don't have a lot in the way of announcements. I do have a sheet here that apparently Kathleen's doing yet another retreat, this time with Father Dermot Roche. And based on the area code 607, it looks like it's going to be up north at Edmiston, New York, the Rosa Mystica House of Prayer. That's May 20th to the 22nd. Your best bet would be to go to rosamysticaofamerica.org. That's Rosa, R-O-S-A, Mystica, M-Y-S-T-I-C-A, of America.org. I believe you can register online there. If you have any issues, you can always get in touch with Maureen here, and I'm sure she'll have the answers to all your questions. All right, so let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Matt Talbot, patron of the show. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footstep of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. We are live today. We may say that in recorded shows. I don't know if there's a way to let you know when they're recorded. But anyway, this is a live show, so if you want to call in and join in the conversation, the numbers are 610-527-2906. It's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls towards the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And hopefully God's touched you. Even in the last month, we haven't been here for a couple of weeks, so in the last month or so, if God's touched you in a particular way and you want to share it with our listeners, we'd love to hear from you. We are currently in the fifth week of Easter. The Easter season continues. And on Sunday the 15th, we would normally celebrate on the 15th, St. Isidore the Farmer. On Monday the 16th, I found the same thing you did, Father. According to my sources, it also says that our liturgical feast is February 22nd, and yet the Franciscan calendar has her plugged in on Monday the 16th, and makes perfect sense as to why you heard the Mass offered for her on EWTN on Monday. Today, we celebrate St. John the First, Pope and Martyr. Friday the 20th, St. Bernardine of Siena, a priest. And on Saturday the 21st, it'll be St. Christopher Magallanes, priest and companions. All were martyrs in Mexico. So our plan is to talk about Isidore and Margaret of Cortona. And if we have time, we'll talk about St. Christopher Magallanes. So St. Isidore, it's every year when he comes up, it's always interesting to me about who this poor farmer was canonized with. But anyway, Isidore was born in the year 1070, and he would die on May the 15th in the year 1130. He was he's the patron of farmers and rural communities. He's also the patron of Madrid, Spain, and the United States National Rural Life Conference. Why? Well, when he was barely old enough to wield a hoe, Isidore entered the service of a family, John de Vergas. He was a wealthy landowner in Madrid, and he would work the rest of his life faithfully for the de Vergas family. He married a young woman who was just like himself, and it also would become a saint, Marie de la Cabeza. And they had one son who unfortunately died as a child. Isidore was a prayerful guy. He would get up early in the morning, go to church. He would spend many a holiday visiting the various churches in Madrid and the surrounding areas. But while he worked all day long, he'd be behind that plow, and he would talk to God. And it, you know, just proof that it, you know, no matter what our station in life, you know, we don't have to be priests and religious and be in front of the Blessed Sacrament all day long in order to commune with God. Here's the, you know, the perfect example of Isidore, who would do it all day long while walking behind his plow. For his fellow workers, it became a problem. He might show up late because he lingered in church too long, or maybe he was slower behind that plow because of his praying. So they may have gotten a little bit resentful. He had a real love for the poor, and they would talk about it, how he would supply them miraculously with food. Obviously, he didn't have a whole lot himself, but somehow would be able to provide food for them. And he also had a great concern for the proper treatment of animals. He died, like I said, on May the 15th in the year 1130. He was declared a saint in 1622 with some real pipe swingers, as my good friend Joe Trainer would say. St. Ignatius of Loyola, Francis Xavier, Teresa of Avila, and Philip Neri. And together the groups known as, in Spain, as the Five Saints. And, you look at the other four, and they're doctors of the church. And here's poor Isidore the farmer, and no less a saint than any of them when it comes to getting to heaven. Right, Father?
Yeah. You know, it's like the little guy, you know, Ken. I call him like, you know, the Big Five, the Holy Quintet. as you mentioned, Ignatius, Xavier, Teresa Avila, Philip Neri, they're like the jumbo jets, and here comes this one little one-propeller plane, you know, in this group, which really shows us that we're all called to be saints. We don't have to be founders of a church or a missionary or a doctor of the church, some kind of scholar. You know, I mean, this man here, Isidore, was a farmer and a very simple person. Loved God, like you said, he loved creation and animals, and had a special devotion to his guardian angel. I mean, he would find God as he would plow the fields. And then, like you said, he would love going to churches, Ken. He'd make pilgrimages, and he would get lost in prayer in front of the tabernacles, right, with the Eucharistic presence. But his employer didn't seem to mind because he was such a great worker, and he would always make up for the time that he lost. But, this is, to me, it gives us all this hope, you know, like we all have equal access to the kingdom of God. I heard one time, you know, when they have airports and you have these big jumbo jets and you have these little planes, they all have equal access. The jumbo jets have to wait for these little planes to land as well. They line up, and it's like equal access to the runway. And we all have equal access to become saints. We have the same Blessed Mother, the same Saint Joseph. We've got more saints than they had. You know, we got the same Eucharist, the same sacraments, the same Bible. And if we don't become saints, we have no one to blame but ourselves. But I keep quoting that quote. I'll quote it the rest of my life with John the Cross. You know, souls called to these grandeurs and created for them. What are you doing? And how are you spending your time? You look at this little guy here, Isidore. We saw how he spent his time. He was always aware of the presence of God, always praying. It was like the whole world was a church to him. Was a cathedral, that he was always in the presence of God. There was no walls between him, no space or time between him and the Lord. And I know he had a difficult life. They had a little, they lost a child, him and Maria, was very young. And yet he maintained that faith and stayed close to God. But, these little saints, they offer us so much that most people are little. I always think of the little flowers statement. She said, the greatest saints in heaven are not the canonized ones. They're the ones who have been forgotten. Little ones like Isidore, that maybe we could have missed him, or we could have missed Matt Talbot or somebody like that. And they're the hidden ones, you know, just living the gospel, the whole gospel and nothing but the gospel. Like doing that, you know, when you pray, do it, shut your door. You know, when you fast, wash your face. When you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Do it hiddenly, and the Father will reward you. So I don't have to be some great person to become holy and to become saints. I am what I am before God, no more and no less. So Isidore really gives us all this hope that we're all called to holiness. We're all called to perfection, to become saints, to be in love with God, who's in love with us. So little Isidore, you know, he gives us all that hope and all that confidence that we're all on the same path to holiness, to sanctity, to sainthood, Ken.
Yeah, and, you know, points well made, and especially when we look at the other four that he was canonized with, all religious, all doctors of the church. And, you know, Isidore stands out because, you know, like that Irish woman when they talked to her about Matt Talbot. You know, he's one of us. You know, he probably nobody thought he ever did anything outstanding in life, but, you know, didn't leave his mark in significant ways as the human race would look at them. And yet he did it in all the little things that he did in life. And all of us can do that. We can, from the time we get up in the morning until the time we lay our head on the pillow at night, we do participate in so many activities, and all of them can be offered up to God. And if we're offering them up, then, you know, perhaps there's some things that we throw in there from time to time that we shouldn't be doing, or we could be doing something better than what we are doing. And, you know, that'll help us to recognize that and to move on to things that are way more important than some of the menial things that we do to pass the time. And that doesn't mean that we don't need leisure and we don't need time to spend with friends and commiserate and laugh and
go to the shore, walk the beach, right?
That's right.
Things like that.
Sure.
Drink in creation, the presence of God. It's all for us. It's all a gift.
Amen.
Yeah.
So.
You know, Ken, too, he's special to me because his feast day was May 15th, and I was a priest for 40 years on the 15th, and I thank God for all the blessings. And then I celebrate like four straight days. On the 16th was my first Mass, and the 17th I celebrated the becoming a pioneer, Ken.
That's right.
Along with you, pioneer. And also today I celebrate my 65th anniversary of my first Holy Communion Day. So they're all special days here, and here I am in solitude, in a hermitage, you know, like all by myself, and can get up in the morning and just look out at that beautiful ocean, seeing the diamonds sparkling on the surface of the ocean. It's like shouting out the glory of God, Ken. And so beautiful. But St. Bernard said, man can't not live without pleasure. And, you know, God's given us so much pleasure. It's just when the pleasures, you know, drink us up, and, you know, our pleasures become our end, and we give our lives for things instead of for God, who blesses us so much with everything. I mean, you can walk the beach at night and look up at the stars or the moon, and you walk down the beach, and that beam of light on the ocean, it, like, follows you. It's like you're the only one. You know, like God got his whole attention on you. You know, it's all for you. And how important it is just for the individual that every life counts, every life, every single life. Just one of us is worth more to God the Father than the whole universe. And he shines his sun on all of us. And it's like, I'm the only one receiving the sunshine, you know, but you get caught up in this inner presence of God, this personal relationship, this communion, this love affair with God. It's so powerful and so beautiful. And we see we're all called to that, as Isidore shows us, Ken. so wonderful, beautiful, to have this gift of life.
Amen.
And the promise of eternal life. What is that going to be like?
Yeah. For those that may have missed it because he was talking too fast, Father did celebrate 40 years as a priest on Sunday, the 15th. We were all sworn to secrecy in the ministry. If anybody had said that they wanted to do something, you know, we were to not allow it. And but anyway, you know, congratulations to the Father for his 40 years, as well as all of his classmates. It was a beautiful thing to watch. They actually broadcast the Mass a couple of weeks ago. It would have been right before the retreat that out at the seminary where they celebrate the anniversaries, I guess, in increments of 5 years. And, you know, you have the guys that are 5 years a priest. And there were some older fellows there. I think guys before your time may have been 55, 60 years a priest. And to see them all there to celebrate it together. Our friend Father Jim Otto over at Sacred Heart, who's a big help to the folks that struggle with addiction and go to the first Saturday meetings and 12-step meetings that they have at Sacred Heart, gave a beautiful homily talking about his own experience as a priest. And that was one of the things that kind of reminded me to get more of these priests involved. He's been over once to visit us. It would be great to have him over again. So, Father, congratulations on those 40 years.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Yeah, it was really great. The alumni just celebrating with all the priests, our anniversaries, and then having dinner too. That was a great time.
Yeah,
really,
and I remember
really enjoyed that. But
yeah, I remember you leaving saying
that. That it wasn't a big party for me, and and a lot of fuss and ceremony, and all that. But 40 years down, forever to go. So I appreciate the keeping it quiet.
No problem. It's easy to do nothing.
I didn't realize I was talking too fast. Thanks for
I didn't mean that you were talking too fast. I mean, because I was aware, picked up on it. I just want to make sure that our listeners were aware that that you celebrated the 40 years and to continue to keep you in prayer. I mean, you're not a spring chicken. I mean, I think you got plenty of years left,
right?
But we need you around as long as God will allow, so that we can continue.
It's just hard to to wrap my brain around 40 years. I don't know where the 40 years went. It seems like yesterday to me, and I really feel I'm coming to a point where I feel like my priesthood is just really starting to shine through me. Like it's no longer I, it's Christ, And I guess, being 71 now, you start thinking, well, how many years do I have left? And whatever years are left, days are left, or even hours are left. And give it all to the Lord, right now, that we won't have this time again. And somehow whatever we do here in this life has some kind of relationship or bearing on our eternal life with God in heaven. But yeah, I'm so grateful for all the blessings for the 40 years. And I mean, I had my mistakes, I had my sins, but I had the confession, I had that sacrament reconciliation, kept bouncing up and getting better and better and better. And I'm still getting better and better and better by the grace of God. And I boast in Him, Ken, only in the Lord. Anything good has always come through me, but not from me, from the Lord Himself, in persona Christi. It's Jesus who blesses. It's Jesus who changes bread and wine into His body and blood. It's Jesus who forgives the sins. It's personal relationships with Jesus. That's the beautiful thing about priesthood. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with us. In that confessional, the priest is a screen, just a screen, that we really meet Jesus Christ. And even on retreats, Ken, I just feel that extra grace that comes through me, like the two lights of the Holy Spirit, the prophetic light, who's the speaker, but also the sanctification light, who's the listener. And I really felt like God's microphone, and all those graces and blessings. And I knew it wasn't me, but it's very humbling to experience that, to come and to know even more deeply, it's always been the Lord. Anything good, it was always the Lord. Peace, joy, happiness, anything good, it is the risen Lord.
Amen. That brings us right to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take our break. I want to give out the phone numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Father and I connected 13 years ago because we had a mutual interest in an organization called the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs where our motto is we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father and I get together with our Calyx unit every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. And all but the third Tuesday of the month, we're in the Annex building at a St. Gabriel's Church that's on the corner of 30th and Dickinson, and the entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood Street. Come up to the third floor on those Tuesdays. And we begin at 6 o'clock with prayer and adoration, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. We're usually out shortly after 8 p.m. with daylight savings time. It's still light out when we get done, so come on down on any Tuesday. On the third Tuesday of the month, and in June, it's going to be the 15th. I think the first is a Monday, so I might be wrong about that. But anyway, in June, the third Tuesday is going to be... I'm sorry, it's the last possible day, the 21st, June 21st. We go to St. Gabriel's Church instead of the Annex building, and we have a healing hour first with prayer, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, confessions are heard, and then we finish the hour with Litany to Matt Talbot, a healing prayer through his intercession, and then benediction. And then at 7 o'clock, we have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And like we said, we want to get more priests involved. Perhaps you're a priest that's listening. Get in touch with us. Come on down. You don't have to come every month, but if you can stop down once in a while and help us out here in confessions or offering Mass as a celebrant, we'd love to have you. Again, that's every Tuesday in Grace Ferry. The Glenside unit is back at St. Luke's Church, and we meet on the third Saturday of each month, so we'll be meeting this Saturday May the 21st, we have 8:30 Mass with the parish in the morning, and then a Calyx meeting afterwards downstairs. So, again, that's St. Luke's in Glenside, the third Saturday of each month, 8:30 Mass, followed by the meeting. We also have our most recent unit is at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield. They had their first meeting back in January and going pretty strong. They meet on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. So that is going to be Memorial Day weekend this month. So take a couple hours. You have to go to Mass anyway, and then take an extra hour and spend it at Calyx, and then you can get back to your holiday festivities. But that's St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, last Saturday of the month, 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by their Calyx meeting. And last but certainly not least is our unit up at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They get together on the first and third Wednesday of the month at 7 o'clock in the parish center. My good friend Tom Gallagher up there runs that Calyx unit. So if you're in the parish or up that way, you probably know Tom. Get in touch with him. If not, get in touch with me, and I can certainly get you hooked up with that unit as well. Last but not least, in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about another future saint, Father Emil Capon. I knew absolutely nothing about this great priest until a few hours ago, and I've been reading about him. He's got quite the life. I was a chaplain over in Korea, prisoner of war, and just a great story. So you'll want to stick around for that in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, we got one person on the line anyway. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Father. How you doing? Hey, Bob.
I'm Chopped
Hello.
Liver. I'm Chopped Liver again. What the heck?
Oh.
Hey, Bob. How are you, bud?
Very good. Very good.
What's on your mind?
You guys were talking about sainthood.
Yeah.
Well, I used to teach at third grade Sunday school, and I explained to them once that there's many more saints than just what we have as the canonized saints. I say that's kind of like the Hall of Fame of saints, but anybody who dies and goes to heaven is a saint. And they were young children, so I told them, your grandmother and your grandfather could very well be saints. And then as I'm saying this to them, I learned something. I said, wait a minute, anybody who dies and goes to heaven is a saint. So if you die and you're not a saint, you don't go to heaven? I go, I better be a saint. So the other thing, I was at St. Raymond Penafort in Mount Airy the other day. And,
oh, yeah.
One of the parishioners had a birthday, so Father Chris had the church. It's a very close community. He had the church sing happy birthday to the person. Well, they added a verse I never heard before. At the end, it sung to the tune of happy birthday. I don't remember it exactly, but it was like, may God bless you, may God bless you, may God bless you, and may you become a saint. I had never heard that version before.
So they're wishing them dead, is that it? Right? That's great. And it, you know, that you're absolutely right, Bob, that, you know, nobody gets into heaven that's not a saint. And that doesn't mean that we've all led perfect lives. You know, thank God for purgatory if we got any of those deep-rooted things that we were unable to shake while we're here on this planet. But if you want to get there, you're going to have to be okay with being a saint. And that's great. And
now, of course, my favorite saint is the good thief at Calvary. You know,
yeah.
We've always taught that he stole heaven.
Amen. You know? Yeah, Dismas.
That's my favorite sentence in the whole Bible. This day you will be with me in paradise. That's fantastic. You're also talking about daylight saving time.
Yep.
So I've been saving. I saved up 24 hours. Yesterday was so nice, I'm going to relive it.
But I'm bump. I forgot my drum kit.
Bump.
Sorry.
All right. I'll let you go.
All right, pal. Thanks for the call. Father, any comment?
No. Thanks, Bob. It's good to hear from you. And, you're right. I did hear that little verse, happy birthday, and then may God bless you. But, yeah, you're right. You know, there's saints that are all around us, walking saints.
Right.
I was thinking like our Protestant brothers and sisters who don't believe in purgatory. So when they die, well, they can't get to heaven. So if they don't go to purgatory, where do they go? You know, there's that the mercy of God, that purification to prepare us to go God. And purgatory is really a step up. You know, like if I'm out working in a ditch and digging holes and sweaty, and I'm that evening I'm invited to a wedding banquet, I want to go home, take a shower, you know, comb my hair, put my best clothes on. And yeah, that's what purgatory is. It's really, you know, a cleansing, not a punishment, but a cleansing and a purification that God gets us ready to see him face to face. And like you mentioned Dismas, and I think of him, did he go to purgatory? Perhaps, but it would happen very quickly, you know, and it's an intensity, you know, this purification. Once we die, I can't see any time period. We don't have our bodies to feel any pain. So the pain has to be this hunger and thirst for God, this fire within us that we want God so much. And to me, that's more like purgatory. It's like, who was it? One of the saints said that it's better to pray for the living than for the dead, because most of the masses that I offer is for the deceased. The reason, St. John Vianney said that, it's better to pray for the living than for the dead, to offer masses for the living. Because the people in purgatory are guaranteed heaven, not so the living. We need to pray for one another, and we sometimes forget to pray for the living and pray for conversions. But you said a lot there, Bob. You even brought purgatory in. All right.
I think about the difference between being a passenger on a plane that lands and being a passenger on a plane and you jump out and you have a parachute. The guy who lands, he's there already. But the guy in the parachute, he knows he's getting there. <You know. laughs> It just takes a little longer.
That's all.
I hear you.
All right, Bob. Appreciate the call, brother. Hope to see you in person soon.
Of course.
All right.
God bless you.
All right. Be good.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Well, that Bob.
Yeah, it was that Bob.
Where's the other Bob?
Hopefully selling real estate or something.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I got nobody else on the board, and so how about we talk about Margaret of Cortona?
Yeah. Before that, you know, the Otter God. Did you have any?
I had the one I shared with you last week, and it's kind of stuck with me. I even shared about a little bit last night, where it wasn't something that I was dreaming, because I seldom remember dreams, and I don't remember this being any part of my sleep. But as I was coming to the phrase "repent and believe in the gospel," it was just so loud and clear, and it was the first thought as I came to in the morning: repent and believe in the gospel. And I'm like, where is, you know, I know we hear it on Ash Wednesday. And, you know, this was, you know, 2 weeks ago. I think it may have been the first morning when I didn't have a fever when I woke up. And, but it was. I mean, it was just clear as day. And it set me on a path of, you know, what haven't I repented of? And, you know, as we're talking about, you know, sanctity and the 12-step lingo, the, you know, fourth and fifth step in the sacramental life, the sacrament of confession, are there things that, you know, in my 60 years on this planet that I haven't repented of? And so it's given me an opportunity to take some time to look back over some of those or a lot of those years in my life that, you know, perhaps there's things in there that I haven't dealt with like I, you know, should have. So it kind of sparked something. And even, you know, the day I had it, I shared it with you, and it's like I rarely get I don't hear voices. Only once, you know, in holding a crucifix one time did I hear Jesus say, you know, Ken, I did this for you. And I shared that with you a number of years ago.
Yeah.
So I normally don't get the voices or these, you know, real clear thoughts the way this one came through, but it was interesting to say the least.
Yeah, and that is a locution. That's God speaking to you, Ken, directly, and you know it. You know, it kind of burns your heart. And I remember sharing this with you that was similar. It was like 3 a.m. in the morning, and I did share this with you. It was March the 3rd in 2013, and God the Father woke me saying, be faithful to the gospel.
And I said, well, what haven't I been faithful to? I asked. Everything, he said. And knowing that he's truth, I begged, well, help me. I'm going to, he said. So I was taking my spiritual inventory, and I went through the commandments in the Sermon on the Mount, and I realized I fell short on everything, Ken.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, it's just amazing. I guess if we compare ourselves to one another, we're doing okay.
Yep.
But when we compare ourselves to Jesus, you know, am I really loving my enemy? Am I really praying for my persecutors? Am I really doing good to those who don't do good to me? Am I going the extra mile? You know, am I turning the other cheek? You know, you start listening to that, and it's like, repent. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And we're called to perfection. We're called to be just like God, to be one with God, to be one heart and one spirit, one mind, and to walk with the Lord. And it's a grace to do that, and we can all do that. But, you had, I think it was called a substantial locution, you know, where they're not words, but you know the truth of it, the experience of it, that's revealed. So congratulations, Ken, on that locution.
Yeah, I guess we'll see if any more come along. In the meantime, so, another phone call did come along, so we'll get this one, and then we'll get your Otter God. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken. Hello, Father.
Hey, Michael.
It's good to hear you guys. It's nice that you're over the COVID and back to living again. But, I just want to say congratulations, Father. You know, you've always been there for me. I'm thinking 40 years ago, I don't know, it just seems like longer than that. You've been through all my trials and tribulations and there when I needed you and all the family situations. And I mean, you were just always, it seems like you were just always there in my life. And, but especially like keeping my faith so strong, you're the best priest I know. I don't know too many priests, but you're the best one I know. And you're always just, you're on point with your homilies and what you say. And for me too, it's like there's a reason for everything today, and it's only because I believe, you know. And you just keep my faith so much stronger. I just try to imitate you, like in a way, like that your faith is so strong in Jesus Christ, and there's a reason for everything in my life today, you know. And I only hear that from you, and it's like, I just keep shaking my head, like every time you talk, and like that's me, you know, that's me today because I have a choice today, and Calyx and having a choice and the Catholic religion and just everything that goes in to Calyx and being a Catholic and trying to follow. It's not easy. But it's simple, but it's not easy. The only one that complicates that is me. God showed us the way. The only one that gets, in its way is me. Sin is self-induced. And I can't do anything until I recognize it. And once I do, there's confession and absolution. And you try not to do it again, you know. There's answers to everything in life and that. It's only because I'm hearing myself and it's scary, but it's true. But it's true. And it's only from people like you, Father, that keep my faith so strong. It's crazy that Ken got involved with you and all the situations that happened through the 13 years that Ken has been there, and how I just hooked up with Calyx and you again and Ken and just all the situations was meant to be. And we go to Calyx every week and there's people there that's supposed to be there for us to share. And like, there's a reason for everything. And it's only because I believe so I just want to congratulate you again, Father. You're an unbelievable person and priest, and I really appreciate you being in my life. So thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. It was always, you always had the faith, and I did water it, you know, but I always remember with your quarts of beer there as your teenage years, and you're the one who always came over, sat on the step, and you wanted to hear more. You wanted to hear more about the gospel, wanted to hear more about Jesus, but you always had that faith that was always there. It wasn't always developed, but today I can say, I can see how far you came from that teenager to where you are now, you know, and I know the great work that you do in sponsoring people, and you help people too. So if you spot something in me, you got it. And just remember, it's all the Lord, it's all good. And as you say, it's all divinely ordained, divinely orchestrated. And yes, we are sinners, but there's that interplay between grace and sin. You know, we fall down and we get up. We fall down and we get up. And that's the whole important thing, that we keep getting up. It's the bounce that counts. And yeah, it's not easy to live the gospel, but it's harder. Life becomes harder not to live the gospel. You live the gospel, behind every cross, there's a grace, and it gets better in our faithfulness. And there's always a reward. There's always a growth, always a maturing more and more as we live the gospel. And we have those tough times and those crosses in life. They really pick us up tremendously. But thanks, Mike. You always blow my horn there, and you humble me a lot of times. But you know, you see anything good, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And honor God. Amen. As you say, it's all God.
Amen.
Thanks, Mike.
You're very humble. You're very humble, Father. But thank you so much. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Thanks for the call, Michael. We appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. You too.
Take care. All right.
Keep calling, Mike. We miss your calls.
No problem, Father.
All right. We got about 6 minutes to go here, Father. So your Otter God?
Yeah. I'll give my Otter God. And also, maybe I can end with a little poem of priesthood, Ken.
Sure.
But my Otter God was... I was in bed for a week, as you know, really weak and tired, didn't want to get out of bed, and it was really a pilgrimage to go downstairs and to make some soup was a journey. But I just remember, I'm going to go through this a second time, Lord, and I really want to get back in the saddle. I'm concerned about this retreat coming up. I want my energy back just to have your, just to proclaim your gospel and let that fire that come through me. And I need to trust God more and more in that, Ken, and that the Lord is with me and he'll take care of everything. So I'm kind of thinking about all this. And, I was taking these hot showers, closing the bathroom door and the window and just getting the steam into my lung. And, I took the shower and I got out and I'm drying myself. And all of a sudden I hear this plop. I said, man, that sounded like a dime. And I looked into the tub where I showered, and here's a dime. Now, where did that come from? The only thing I could think of was I laying in bed, and a dime fell in my pocket and stuck to my skin. But how long could it stick to my skin after that shower and washing myself, soaking myself down? And all of a sudden, it's like that dime plopped down, and the Lord's saying, relax. Trust me. I got this. I'll take care of everything. You're not God. I'm God. I'm God. Who are you, Dougie? And it's just having more trust in him. That I know I trust God, but am I always trusting him? Like you give a homily and you get all this pressure. Oh, Father, you give good homilies. And then you're pressured that way. It's like, Lord, another retreat. Will you do it again? Will you do it again? And he does every time. And I'm looking at 40 years and I look back. He's always done it. It was never me. It was always him through me, through his priesthood. So that was my honor. Or God experienced that dime. And for people who are maybe the first time tuning in about the dimes, we always talk at our Calyx meeting with finding dimes, and it's always a sign of God's presence when you do find a dime. But anyway, it was a real Otter God, and just right at that time, right before the 40-year celebration, that my priesthood, it's my priesthood, Douglas, not yours. You share in my priesthood, but I am the priest. And so, if I can just get this story in, Ken, before we do run out of time.
Sure.
When I was at, I wrote the book Heaven's Homecoming with the Little Sisters of the Poor, Capturing the Hour of Death. And I just remember you know, the highlight of the Little Sisters of the Poor is really the hour of death, you know. And signs happen, blood pressure drops and the beepers go off. And we go and we meet that person. We usually bring the Blessed Sacrament. And this time the beepers went off. And it was a woman, Rose, Betty's, you know, Rose is dying. And Betty says, can I come? I said, sure, come on up. And I wheeled her up. And, you know, we're all praying. The hour of death sisters are there. And I have my hands on Betty. And all of a sudden, somebody comes in and pushes me out of the way. And he puts his hands on the woman. And it's really his mother. So I didn't mind, you know, it's her son. So I got out of the way. So anyway, Rose died. And down in the tea room, Betty says, Father, who was that man that came in and pushed you out of the way? Was that the doctor? And Sister said, no, that wasn't the doctor. That was her son. And Betty said, well, when my time comes, Father, and you push my children out of the way, and you put your hands on me. And Sister said, why his hands? He said, well, his hands are anointed. His hands are the hands of Jesus. And I never forgot that. And that is so true. Our hands is the hands of Jesus. They're anointed. I remember Cardinal Kroll. He saturated our hands with oil. And they are the hands of Jesus. You know, at that altar, the blessing, you know, absolution, they're the hands of Jesus. And anyway, Betty had put in my mailbox a poem that I just want to recite. How much time we have, Ken?
Two and a half minutes.
Yeah, I can get it in. Good. Yeah. The beautiful hands of a priest. We need them in life's early morning. We need them again at its close. We feel their warm clasp of true friendship. We seek them when tasting life's woes. At the altar each day, we behold them, and the hands of a king on his throne are not equal to them in their greatness. Their dignity stands all alone. And when we are tempted and wander to the pathways of shame and of sin, it's the hand of a priest that will absolve us, not once, but again and again. And when we are taking life's partner, other hands may prepare us a feast. But the hand that will bless and unite us is the beautiful hand of a priest. God bless them and keep them all holy for the host which their fingers caress. When can a poor sinner do better than to ask him to guide thee and bless? When the hour of death comes upon us, may our courage and strength be increased by seeing raised over us in blessing the beautiful hands of a priest. 40 years down, Ken, forever to go.
Amen. Nah, it's beautiful,
bless
Father.
Bless us all priests. Thanks, Ken.
Nah, thank you. And, you know, we thank God for your priesthood and, you know, the gift that you've been to all of us, especially those that struggle with, you know, addiction and your involvement in Calyx, both at the local level and then the international level, your willingness to serve and go that extra mile to help anybody that asks for it. So I know we can't see your hands, but I know when you give the blessing that you're absolutely making the sign of the cross with those blessed hands. So how about if we get your blessing?
That's right. I put my left hand on my heart. I have the three fingers, the Trinity. My index finger touches my thumb. Reminds me of the Eucharist where all the blessings flow. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, bless us all, our whole world, with your peace. Ukraine, Russia, peace in our nation and politics, peace on our streets and our families and in our own hearts, and all those who are suffering and sick, especially all the elderly that are listening, and all of us, dear Father, for we all belong to you. So make our hearts one with yours through the Sacred Heart of your Son, Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the Chaste Heart of St. Joseph. And bless us all and all of our priests who are celebrating their anniversaries. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone, Ken. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Father. It was great to be with you again. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back with our guest. We'll be talking about Father Emil Capon. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away.